life. We've been talking about a person titling things that are like a, talked about whether a manufacturer has to title his kalim, and if I get kalim from the manufacturer, like a jar of pickles, if I have to title them. And today we're going to go from a different angle to talk about whether some different food service type places, like restaurants and caterers and hotels and nursing homes and things like that, whether they're mechuyev to title the dishes. And the first thing is, before we get actually into that, is we work with an assumption that the hashgacha takes responsibility for tefillas kelim at a restaurant. And so the first, we do that at restaurants. We don't do that at industrial manufacturing facilities. So the first thing we're going to talk about, before we talk about whether those kelim are chayiv in tefillas kelim, let's assume that they are, we'll talk about that in a minute, is that our responsibility to make sure we do tefillas kelim.
And the plates or forks and knives and
I'm coming to that. Yes, that's correct. So the food is kosher whether they do tefillas kelim or not. It's not, you know, it's kosher no matter what. We'll see at the end of the siman, the food is kosher no matter what. And we don't ever use our hashgacha as a way to force people to do mitzvahs. We don't say to the owner, we won't give you hashgacha unless you're Shomer Shabbos. We don't use that as our like leverage and say, well, we could force you. So we wouldn't force him after doing the mitzvah Shabbat. We won't force him to do that. So the question is whether it's our responsibility to make him, to why we take him on as our responsibility to do this skill. Okay? So the simple reason is, like David said, the simple reason is because there's an issue on the person to eat on the dishes. So if a person walks into the restaurant and they put him on a plate and give him some silverware and a cup, then he's eating on that food. So it has nothing to do with the kashrus of the food, but it's a little like we feel responsible for the customers. We're telling customers you can eat in the store, and if we didn't title the dishes, then the cup that they drink out of the cup that they're drinking out of, they're doing the wrong thing to drink out of that cup. Okay, now that would only explain two parts of the question. That would explain why we title the things that are used in the restaurant, in the front, where the customers eat from. And it would explain why industrially we don't care about tefillas kelim. Okay, but it wouldn't explain then why we're makbid on their pots and pans. Okay, we tell them they have to title their pots and pans also. And that wouldn't explain that, because no one's eating out of that. Okay?
So
one answer is yes, it's just agav. Once we're doing it, we're ready. You know, once we told the guy, you have to do tefillas kelim, you have to do tefillas kelim, this, not this, it's the same thing. Okay. Rabelsky had a interesting look at it. He said, as you know, we have the mashkichim, either because they have to work, because they get paid, or because traditionally so, since they end up cooking with the pots and pans. So we're doing it to save the mashkiach. Okay. The mashkiach is in the back of the kitchen, and he's cooking with the pots and pans, so we want to save him. What?
It's fine.
No, so sometimes they do it just because they pay them. If you're working here, if you're paid, you might as well do some work. Or we do it after Bishop is also, but he's doing different things. Okay, that was one thing. Okay. And another explanation would be is, when a person comes to us for hashgacha, he's saying to us, I'm paying you, and you take care of all my responsibilities here in the store. So my responsibility is, of course, is to make food kosher. That's the primary thing we do. But we should be, he's like sort of counting on us to look out for his neshama also. I mean, if he has a mitzvah to do tefillas kelim, we should tell him, like, Rabbi, you're taking care of me. If you didn't do it, you didn't take care of me, how am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do, you know? Okay, if that would be the reason why we do tefillas kelim for him, then he could opt out, you know? He could say, you know, don't do me any favors, you know? I don't want to have all these dishes. What?
I think it was a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, well, no, some of them are sincere, and they say, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. If you don't tell me, how was I supposed to know that? Okay. And another answer given is that hashgacha on restaurants and hashgacha on factories comes from two different worlds. We do both sides of it, but hashgacha on restaurants came from the local, is really an extension of the local rav working, going to the local butcher shop or bakery and giving them hashgacha. Okay, when the local rav came in there, he didn't come in as like us with his professional hashgachas. He was the rav of the community. He felt responsible for people's things, so he told them, you have to tell me your dishes. He told them he has to be Shomer Shabbos also. He told them all kinds of things. You know what I mean? As the rav of the community, he told them the different things. So we like, as the continuation of that, we're that's really what we're doing. We're just doing this in a big fancy office, but we're really doing the same thing. So we say, you have to tell me your kettle. You have to tell all kinds of things like that. You know? In a factory is a whole different thing. You know, factories are different. We're doing them a service, and we have contracts, and all kinds of fancy things. You know, it's a different story. They were not looking at, not community oriented in that way. Okay, so let's move on. So we assume that we're responsible for tefillas kelim in restaurants and things like that. And the question is, whether they're feeling tshuva. Are those kelim really chayim tefilas kelim? Okay, we tell them that they have to. And the question is, if they're chayim tefilas kelim. So before I get into it, I'm going to just mention in passing, Shlomo Miller, a few years ago, there was a kashrus conference in Toronto. And the night beforehand, they had a question and answers with Shlomo Miller. And they had they ate supper together, and then he answered all kinds of questions and answers. All kinds of questions. And one of the questions was whether a nursing home has to do tefilas kelim. And I don't remember if they said it in the question, but he said it in the answer. He said it, there was a tzad to say, he didn't say tzadin, he said it's a tziruf to say that they're not luchuyitu because the government, the etzim, the government takes responsibility for nursing homes. You're caring for these elderly people, and they have the right to walk in at any time and kick out the owners and take it over. Okay? They feel like an achrayis to these people. It's not like a hotel. They feel like a restaurant. Oh, yeah, they could just kick you out. You're like helping them for now, but they can always kick you out. So he held it was a side of them having like a partial ownership. What? So it's going to be like, they kick you out. Meaning, if they think that you're not taking care of the people properly, if you're not taking care of your
responsibility. They can take you to court for being whatever.
They can take away the building.
take away your license. And management.
You're not doing the job. It's a kind of meeting. They're coming in back, but you don't take away your license.
They can take over.
I just read. He said something.
They're all the old investors in Chicago. They can start running for money, so they wanted to ask.
Okay, so let's go on. So what's the reason why it shouldn't be tefilas kelim? So Dayan Weiss, and there are others before him, and even since him, who have made the same point. He says what we're talking about, which is why we're doing it in this din, is that there's something called klei schayra, things that are meant for business purposes. The case in the Ramah was the person bought, maybe the Machabi even said it. Machabi said it. A person bought a scissor to cut paper. Okay, he's not using it for food purposes. Or another case was he bought kelim that he's going to sell to other people. It's klei schayra. It's not meant as klei suda. You don't eat from this. And mamela, you're not mechuyev in tefilas kelim for those things. You're not mechuyev in tefilas kelim. So he says the person who owns a restaurant, the person who owns a hotel, he's not. It's not klei suda. It's klei schayra. He does business with these things. For him, he could just as well be selling shoes. Okay, it happens to be that he sells food and the food goes on plates, but the plates for him is just a business. Okay, it's not something that he eats on, and therefore that person is not mechuyev. He's not mechuyev to travel all those kelim. Okay, one of the cases in the Shevet Sefer was a guy who wanted to eat on a train. Okay, the commissary, the concession belonged to Jewish people who weren't traveling the kelim. He wanted to eat, drink a cup. Okay, we had it recently also. Someone told me from a different city. You can hear about the story later today. They were going to have an event for 1,700 people and in a hotel. And the hotel owns all these kind of dishes. And then, a whole set of kosher dishes. And then they realized, in the last minute, they said, the owner of this hotel, it was a Jewish event, and the owner is Jewish. And, of course, he's very proud that he's Jewish, and he's hosting this big Jewish event. And like a few days before, they're like, oh my gosh, maybe we have to title a kelim. Try to imagine titling hundreds of kelim at that point. And in the end, they turned out there was a Jewish partner. They were like really relieved. He, the poor owner, had no idea what they were so excited about his. Okay, so over here we have a person who does it, who has his dish is the dynamite says it's klei schayra. He does it for business purposes. Okay, now whether that svara could work for the pots and pans is not so clear. Okay, it's not so clear if the pots and pans qualify for that because pots, no one eats out of pots ever. Okay, pots are considered klei suda because they prepare the food that people are going to eat at a meal, which is exactly what they're doing here. Okay, I'm not sure if he would have said anything by the pots and pans. It's for him to do business with. Right. But anybody who cooks potatoes, it's a plate that you need. It's for making food ready for eating.
To eat, here's making food to sell.
Making food ready to sell. Okay, you can see. Okay. So
when you hear by plate, you hear better. The plates are forms of nice.
Yeah, because the owner right here, plates only chayev if you eat with them. I don't eat with them. I just do business with them. Pots are chayev if they make food for eating. That's what they do. They make food for eating. So I hear that different than the plate. A plate is if you eat with it. Okay, so
the eater.
So the question is that's what I'm about to talk about. So the question is now the another aside before I get to what you just said is Daimler says, he says, you know, well, wait a second. What I'm saying only makes sense. He says, maybe you'll tell me that the owner of the restaurant, once in a while, eats some food from his restaurant also. He says, why don't we consider it to be clay suda? Because the guy, once in a while, he sits down and takes some of the food out of his restaurant, takes some french fries on a plate, and he eats them. So now, sometimes he does business with them. Usually he does business with them. Occasionally he eats with them. So they should be the din that Ramos could talk about. I think it's going to be us next time. Is that Ramos talks about, which is use it occasionally. If you use something derech harai, then it's chayvus. So I usually use it for business. I sometimes use it for eating. In this halacha, that if you use something b'derech harai, if you use something temporarily for food, you have something that's etzem for cutting paper, and you occasionally use it for food, it's chayim tzivos kam. We're going to talk about that next time, whether the din is like that or not. But it's, the Ramah says you should do it. Okay, so he says, yeah, don't worry about that. He doesn't explain why, and I don't really know what his reason is. He's just like, yeah, don't worry about that. I'm not sure what the.
What's the case of chayim tzivos kam? Case of chayim not chayim tzivos, right?
Correct.
What are we talking about? Not that it. That guy temporarily wants to eat from it.
No, do I have a mitzvah to use kelim? I have a kli. I own a house for a store, and I have 100 cups in my store. Do I have to tell them?
Really?
Yeah, that's
true. I'm not going to eat from it ever.
Right.
Let's go get the tablet on my hill.
And the opposite, the end of that question, which is we talked about that time, which I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to mention again in a second, is what happens if I chose to tell them? Okay, there are those. Let's say I chose it. I do you a service. So we talked about that at a different time. Is could I? Maybe I'm not chayav to ask him. I can't table them. Right. If I want to jump back, we're going to come to that in a second. And then
I would have put the shot if the guy wants to eat order temporarily.
But that's not what the
truth. Okay, is. So let's talk about that. What's it in then?
What's it in what?
Then when somebody wants to eat over, it's clear. The guy has clear.
I said we'll talk about it next time. The Ramah says he's going to table it. He says if he chooses to do b'derech harai to use it, he's mechuyev to table.
I thought he said that I'm also talking about a kli that you mostly don't use for food.
Same thing. I'm a lump something.
Maybe not. That's what I'm trying to say.
We'll talk about next time. I'm all wrong.
Put something in this.
Don't lump something. No, Daimler is dead. Don't worry about that. He says,
this is why not to worry about it.
Okay. So one of the reasons to question what we said is, I said, the guy said, you don't have to title them because it's Kisar. Okay? So the question is, we saw that in the Dizamach like this, about that din. Okay? Shulchan Aruch says, if I have clay Sahara, and I lend them or rent them to somebody else, then, and that person chooses to use them for food, okay, for me, it's clay scissor, and he borrowed it from me. I had this scissor that I used for cutting paper. He borrowed the scissor from me, and he uses it to cut food. Then the thing is, the Machabe says, you're not Machabe in Tfilas Kelim. Why? Because it's the owner who makes the decisions whether something is high, whether it's for food or not for food. You, the fact that you're using it, you're the not owner, the Sarah Tfilas Kelim, that doesn't count. It doesn't make a difference if you decide to use it for somebody else. But the Tazan Shach brings that the Issa Behetta argues, and he says if the person who borrows it or rents it chooses to use it for food, then you are Mechuyev Tfilas Kelim. The Tazan Shach says you should be Machuyev and do Tfilas that bracha. So the question here is, let's say that for the owner, it's not, it's Klei Sechayr. Well, except what the Daimai said, that it's Klei Sechayr. Fine, for him it's Klei Sechayr. But as soon as I walk into the restaurant to eat, he just let me his plate. He said I could use the plate. I sat down and eat the plate. For me, it's Klei Suda. So I should be Chayim Tzivos Kelim now. Okay, according to the Mechaber, you wouldn't be Chayim Tzivos Kelim. According to the Tazan Shach, say you should be Choshesh for this Issa Behetter, so I should be Chayim Tzivos Kelim. Okay, now, if you're going to say that I'm Chayim Tzivos Kelim, we come with this crazy scenario, which is, the owner, according to Daniel Weiss, wasn't Chayim Tzivos Kelim. When I walk in and say, hi, can I have a slice of pizza? All of a sudden, I'm Chayim Tzivos Kelim. Now, of course, what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do? My tefillah is killed. I'm going to run out to the mitzvah when the guy gives me my plate. Hold on a second. Before you put the food, I'm going to run to the tefillah. What am I supposed to do with that thing? Okay, we talked about it.
The owner can't tefillah.
Right, so now we're really messing with that other shot, which is, could you tefillah it before you have to? So according to, we make the restaurant when we tefillah. We'll talk more in a second. Other reasons why. We tell them they should tefillah. But according to Diane Weiss, we're not doing them a favor. I mean, we're not helping really, because we're tefillah. There are those who are tefillah before the time doesn't help either. So, if that doesn't help, so what's the guy supposed to do with it? Okay, so you walk in, and you say to me, give me something to eat. Now all of a sudden it becomes high and feels kale. And now what do I do? Okay, so, but it's a question. Okay, it's a question which is, even if Daimler was correct, that it's not high and feels kale, because for him it's clay skyra, it's only for him that it's clay skyra. For the patrons, it's not clay skyra. Okay, now,
the patron, It might be different than somebody who borrows kelim.
Because?
Because the guy takes it in a place, he doesn't really, he's not really borrowing the kli. In other words, the owner could say, one second, I need that kli, I'll give you another one. There's only going to be rights to this kli, so it might be not considered a shirk on this kli.
Actually, I actually thought punk faker, and that is, this is what I thought. The Mechaber said that the owner is the one who makes the decisions whether it's a clay suit or not clay suit, and the person who borrows it doesn't get to make those decisions. When he decides something, doesn't count anything. Over here, it's the owner who decided that the borrower is going to use it for food. I opened up a restaurant. I bought the plates so that people could eat on them. So it's not like I bought a scissor for cutting paper, and you had to change the kavana and start using it for food. No, no, no. I bought a plate so that you could come in and eat on it. That's why I bought the plate. So the owner made the decision. So maybe even the Mechaber would agree in this case that it's chayav in tefilas kelim, because it's the owner made the decision. When we say a borrower can't make the decision, but that's because the borrower is doing something what the owner didn't have in mind. Okay, but here the owner had that in mind. That's why I bought the plates for. I have 100 plates because I want people to come in and eat on them. That's the whole point of it. So therefore, maybe even the Mechaber would agree that it's not chayav, that's chayav in tefilas kelim. Because as soon as you borrow it, you're borrowing it, not with this different kavanah than I'm
trying to say. It's not really borrowing. There's no real shaylah skeeter here, that's what I'm trying to say. It's different than a normal, when I borrow plates from somebody, I'm borrowing the plate. I have a right, you can't get it back from me. If I borrow it for a week,
and
you can't
walk out the store with it.
What?
And you're allowed to leave the store.
Yeah, you're allowed to leave the store.
So you think that makes me not a borrower?
You're using the owner's plate. I know, like, a place can use, like, in a hospital room or a nursing home. You don't really, the guy doesn't really have real schiris or shayla on the room.
Okay.
The hospital can move you around. It was moving in the also.
We could both be correct. I'm saying is that the owner has made a decision that the person using it should use it for food. So it's the owner's decision. Maybe the Mechaber should agree. And you're saying that the guy who's borrowing it, he's not even a shayla. He's so little that he shouldn't count as anything. There's something less than a bingo shayla. There's something less than that. When the Mechaber talked about, and Isab had to argue about a shayla or a seicher, because the guy at least has a little bit of rights. He at least has a little bit of rights to use this thing. And you essentially have no rights to this thing. You have a zero rights to this thing. Okay, maybe that's one. Okay. It so happens, I think, this is in the Shevet Sefer. He says this. He wants to be makel. He brings up this point. He says this. Why don't you say this? That it should be choshed after Issa Beheter. He says, okay, maybe it could be makel by glass, which is what he was talking about on the train. They were talking about glass. Okay, it could be makel as long as Darbanan. Maybe the Issa Beheter himself didn't mean it by Darbanan. I'm not sure where that comes from. Maybe he did. He only meant it by the rices, not by Darbanan. But that'll help us for a glass. It's not going to help us for a silverware. Okay, now. The more basic reason why others disagree with dynamite, okay, is not. I'm saying to you, we have this chash. I'll say some hefter. You should have the title. But they say is when I buy dishes to serve people food on them, that's not klei shor b'chlal. Okay, when we said klei shor, I bought it for cutting paper. I cut it for selling plates. That's at least I'm in business with this thing. He says, that's not what the guy bought the plates for. This guy bought the plates for to serve people on. He says, they say, imagine if a guy buys silverware, buys plates that only some of the people in the family are going to use. You wouldn't say it's not clay suda, because it's for the other people in the family that you bought it for eating lunch. Even if you personally are not going to eat it, and everyone else in the family is going to eat it. So that's what you did. You bought plates that everyone should eat on. Over here, instead of it, your friends eating on it, it's people who pay you are going to eat on it. But basically, you bought it to eat on it. And the point is made stronger by the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that clay suda are potter. There's no Gemara that says that. What the Gemara does say is that clay suda are chayiv. Clay suda murim b'parsha. From which we sort of infer, well, clay suda are chayiv in tefila, but clay suda are not. Klei Sfar is the opposite of Klei Suda. Are these Klei Suda? Of course they're Klei Suda. What do you think they are? The guy runs a restaurant. He serves food. It's not a gardening store that he has cups in it for gardening. This is it's a restaurant. So it's Klei Suda. The Gemara that talks about it says, you have to type Klei Suda. That's what these are. They're meant for Sudas. Okay? That's how these Pesachim are saying it. They're saying, when I buy the plates to give to a lot of people, to let people eat on it, the fact that they pay for the service doesn't make a difference. The mice is they're paying for eating, and we treat it as Klei Suda. And in fact, that's what most people do, seriously included, that they consider these things that they are chayav in tefilas kelim, we treat them as klei suda, not as klei shor. Hagam that the guy makes money off of the thing, we treat it as klei suda. Okay. Now, that's all true, for a restaurant and a hotel and nursing home, etc. It's harder to justify it for a different thing, which is a dish rental business. Okay? A person who's in a dish rental business, he buys thousands of plates and forks and whatever, not for use. He doesn't eat on them. He doesn't serve on them. He doesn't do anything with them that has to do with food. All he's in the business is of renting them out to people. Okay, so for that guy, it's harder to say that those are not klei schara. He has them. Now, he's not like a store owner that means to sell them, who has nothing to do with the food. It's you, the buyer, who's going to use it. But in this case, the guy who owns the business, he only owns these plates for lending out to people, for renting out to people. Okay, so it's harder to say that these are meant for eating. It's not like a restaurant. In a restaurant, I bought the plate so I could serve people food on it. Here I didn't buy it to serve it to people. Here I bought the plates just to rent it out. So it's easier to hear what Dayan Weiss is saying, and at the same time, it's easier to connect the Issa v'Heter, even the way you said it. The Issa v'Heter is more negative. One of the cases of the Machaber is, I bought it for Schaira, and I rent it out to somebody else. That's what this guy does. Okay, so there, it's easier to hear that it should not be Chayv and Tefilas Kelim by the owner, by the person who owns it, but yes, Chayv and Tefilas Kelim by the renter, okay, which is going to, well, according to the Issa v'Heter, which will run us into that problem. Did I confuse
you? No.
Which will run us into that problem that what's the guy supposed to do? Now this guy could go to the mikveh. The guy who rents it could go to the mikveh because he's not like in a restaurant stuck. So the first person who borrows the kelim should have to take all these kelim and run them to the mikveh. Okay? Obviously it's going to make life complicated.
And he gives them back and they rent them to somebody else as their new
kelim? I don't think so. I assume that once they'd be titled, they were titled, I assume, that they can't be chayv. What would make them chayv and feel again? What happens if you have a plate and then you start to use it for food, for itself? But it's not sold to a guy, but it's sold back to the yid who owns the store, yeah?
If you rent the plate to a guy, you get it back.
So I'm coming about that. What?
Because there's a stand not be chayv again. So.
Yeah, but it's not nothing that makes it chayv. Okay, no, rent it to a guy. We're gonna do in a second. I thought you had said something else. That's what I'm coming to. Lend to a guy is in a couple didn't. No, it's not chayv until scale. But there's a little wrinkle to this business, which is there are people in the dish rental business. In fact, people who we know. Who have three sets of dishes. Okay? They have their kosher dishes. That's what we give hashgacha to. They have kosher dishes. Those, what we're talking about, there's a good argument to be made that they're not chayv and tefilas kelim by the owner. They are chayv and tefilas kelim as soon as someone rents them, and then we have this complication of how to do that. Okay? Then they have kelim that they have treif. They're treif kelim. They rent it out to any guy who walks in the door, the kelim are treif kelim. There's a question about that. In the Maral Diskin says that those are not chayv. Whether the chayv and tefilas kelim in the chayv and tefilas kelim, the Maral Diskin says that they're not. Okay, they're not chayv and tefilas kelim. He says he has a few different reasons, but he says things that are meant to be given out that are used for treif are not chayv and tefilas kelim. Rabbi Friedman had this question. Somebody asked him. He said he's a chef in a treif restaurant, so he was calling Rabbi Friedman to ask am I allowed to work in a treif restaurant? That's part of the question. But part of the question that he asked him is that the chefs like to have their own knives. Because I have my own set of knives. I own the knives. But I use these knives, of course, only in the treif restaurant. I never use them at home. So his shaila was whether it's chayv and tefilas kelim. The food, these are knives that are designated for use for treif food. So the Maral Diskin says you're not chayv and tefilas kelim for those things. You're not chayv and tefilas kelim. The stickiest part will be is, what about, in fact, one people we know has like his kosher style dishes. Okay, they're like sort of kosher, which is to say the people who borrow them are people who borrow them only for kosher food, but no one really has any idea what they do with them. No one knows whether they don't watch the kelim. So, you know, if you want from them, you're taking your chances of what the guy is.
These people that kosher style are interested in kosher style kelim.
Right.
Don't strike me these type of people are interested in kosher. They're interested in kosher style food, not interested in kosher style kelim. So, if you're in a kelim parasha, then you're beyond kosher style. That's what I would think.
Well, the bad news is, you've probably eaten on those kelim. Okay? there's lots of events that go on in town where the food is kosher, but there's no hashgacha for whatever complication, there's no hashgacha on it, so he can't lend them his kosher dishes. When those people want to rent dishes, they rent the kosher-style dishes. Anyhow, yes, it's a problem. So those kosher-style dishes, kosher, whatever, they're in-between kosher dishes, Right. So who's borrowing those dishes? Who borrows the dish? Who rents the dishes that are sort of kosher? It's not your average guy in the street. He can take the trace dishes. Who's taking the sort of kosher dishes? Obviously, these are people who, they're Jewish people. Obviously, they want to eat kosher. Obviously, they want to eat kosher. For whatever reason, they're not getting the right dishes, but they want to eat kosher. So those are not dishes that are meant for goyim. Those are dishes that are meant for yidden. If those dishes are meant for a yid, then they're back to this question of being chayim tefilas kelim as soon as you borrow them, or maybe. Again, now we actually make him tovel his dishes, the ones we give hashgacha, make those people tovel their dishes. Whether that's correct, that's not so clear to me. Okay, the argument of dynamite is stronger over there that maybe they're not chayim tefilas kelim until the first person borrows them. Okay.
So we make them table and what when he purchases them.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a mock rental to somebody and then.
So maybe maybe you can take them.
Or you can get here for that.
Or you could eat lunch on them, right? You could just start. You know, he could say he wants to eat. But right, but if he the first guy, he could rent him. Say, okay, rent it to somebody. Then we'll run to the mikvah. We'll do like you said, a pretend rental to a guy, and then we could maybe. So maybe we should do. But that, right now we tell them to your dishes. You know, that's what we do. Okay. Okay. The last question to go ahead.
Yes. So was a rental to go ahead.
I mean, he checks out the kosher status of people
who want to... You wonder how he does this? We'll talk about that. Not Tfilas Kelim Shaila. Okay. I mean, it is a Tfilas Kelim Shaila, but not the part of what's bothering you.
The Milosh is
the kosher style.
No, the kosher.
No. The ones that have Hashkocha?
Yeah.
Oh, they have both.
Only the other ones that's private individuals.
Only if there's Hashkocha. It only goes to a place that has Hashkocha. No, we control those, that they only go to the right places. Or they go to a caterer. Let's say a caterer's making an event. He has only 500 dishes. He needs 600. He borrows 100, and then he gives it back to him with Ashkocha. Yeah, the real ones. Okay. Okay, so one last question that has nothing to do with what we talked about beforehand, but it's relevant to, like, these kind of events, like caterers. People deal with a lot of dishes is, what would happen if a person has some, let's say, I'm going to use silverware, the easier example for us. A person has silverware, and they have a piece of silverware that didn't get titled, and it got mixed into kelim that were titled. Okay, so in a house, it's not such a relevant question. It's not as much of a question. But for, as I bring it today, because I'll cater worship, they have hundreds of pieces, so they have more of a question of what to do if all of a sudden they bought another 50 pieces, and now they can't figure out which are the 50 forks that weren't titled, and there's 500 forks that were titled. Okay, so there's a similar din, the Mechaber talks about in Simkuf Beis, which is, what happens if a person has kelim that were traced, they got mixed into kelim that were kosher, okay? And the Mechaber says, that's batel. It's batel b'raya. Okay, as long as there's more kosher kelim than traced kelim, it's batel b'raya. Okay, there are those who argue here that say, it's in the simon of kofes, of davashesh matirim, because they say it's easy to kosher things, and the Mechaber holds it's not so easy. That's why he says it. They're not kind of in tefilas kelim because it's not easy, it costs money, and it's a pashka. So, it's a question within the details of davashesh matirim, is this easy or not easy to kosher the kelim? But everyone, and the principle of Shabbat, which is that if it would be easy, you would be mechuyev to kasher all the kelim, and if it would not be easy, then you're not mechuyev to kasher, that's not considered a davar sheyesh hametirin, and therefore, so whether it's batel or not, depends on whether it's a davar sheyesh hametirin, a sort of a davar sheyesh hametirin. Okay, that's what it talks about in Hagol's kelim, for Hagol's kelim, it's in Simon Kuf Beis, and similarly, the same shayla, the same diyun would apply to Tfilas kelim, which is to say, if it happened in my house and I have three forks, one was not titled and two were titled, we would say that's an easy thing for the person to do. Go title the three forks, and therefore you would be mechuyev to title them. You would see it would be like a sort of davar sheyesh hametirin. Okay? If we had, like in the case that I told you, in the case that I told you about this hotel that was doing an event, they had for 1,700 people, and they owned 1,700. They owned 1,700, as I remember, they were cups or bowls. Okay, for their 1,700 guests. Okay, well, when they finished the event, and they were cleaning up in the kosher kitchen, they came back, there were 1,802 kosher cups. So the Mashgiach and the Rav HaMashir were trying to figure out what happened to the kashrus of it. How on earth did they slip in 102 treif ones into the kosher ones? Okay, now, I was with the Rav HaMashir for like a day while he was trying to figure out...
the glass?
They were not glazed. I do not believe they were glazed. But the question for the Hagolas Kalim and for the Tfilas Kalim, okay, imagine if you had this situation, okay, you got 102 dishes slipped in here, so to say that you won't say it's easy to tovel 1,800 things.
On the kosher things.
Yeah, well the problem was one of the issues that there was is that in this hotel the kosher and the treif, in this case cups, use the same pattern. Okay, they the way you're supposed to do it, the way it usually is that the kosher and treif use different patterns. So this one, you could tell what's kosher and treif easily. It's a hashkacha issue. They have different patterns. The hotel didn't do that. Okay. So
if it wasn't glass, you don't have to tell it. Was it pattern?
It was, so it was, the problem was, I'm talking about the kashing of it, had a, first of all, there was a lot of them, so even the Tazen Shachu talked about that maybe it's easy to do, it would, probably wouldn't be 1800 kilos as easy, and as I seem to remember that they were ceramic, so they had a problem, they couldn't be kashing, so it wouldn't be double shish material if you can't do it, okay, but the idea is, if a guy's got, I've got 1,800 pieces, of which 100 of them, 102 of them, weren't titled, so then you wouldn't say that it's a double shish material because it's easy to do. It's not easy to title all those things. Okay, so that would be the simple understanding. I'm not going to tell it to you, but Rabbi Ganak has a whole alumnus idea as to why it's not the same, why Tfilos came and Hagolos came are not the same thing. But I want to tell you a machlokes. Okay, I'm going to end with this. A machlokes. It's like this. I'm telling you that just like by Hagolos came, It's within the range of Dovah Sheshel Matirin to say I could kasha the Kalim. Again, it's a machlokes, it depends if it's easy or not easy, but it's in the range of Dovah Sheshel Matirin. So I'm telling you that Tfilos Kalim was the same thing, it's also within the range of Dovah Sheshel Matirin. Okay? And Rav Moshe essentially says like that. Okay? Rav Moshe in the Tshuva talks about, not exactly, but a similar question, he essentially considers it like a Dovah Sheshel Matirin. Which is what? Achet Techanab Isser, Achol of a Heter. Even if a Heter, you could tell it, you could get it out of the problem. Okay? Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's not true. Okay? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he says, whenever we say Dovah Sheshel Matirin, we say you could eat it beheter, so why eat it behisser? That's only when the way to get out of the Shaila is through some other means. What's the classic case in the Gemara? I have a bay that was maybe null to be yomtif, so I could wait till tomorrow. If I wait till tomorrow, I could avoid the Shaila by waiting till tomorrow to eat it. By the Hagol of Kalim, I could get the Isser out, I could kasha the Kalim, I get the Isser out, and then I could use the Kli. So why use the Treif Kli? I can get the Isser out and use the Kli without it. He says, by Tfilos Kalim, what are you saying to me? He says, you have, the Ikar Din is that it's Bottle Baroiv, but I'm telling you, you should be Machmir to do what? To say it's not Bottle Baroiv. Okay, to be Machmir to do Tfilos Kalim. The Shaila says it needs Tfilos Kalim, does it not need Tfilos Kalim? I don't have a side way to get out of the Isser. Dovah Sheshel Matirin says, I have a side way to get out of the problem, which is like, wait till tomorrow, I can kasher and get the bli out, and my kli will still be, I'll just move the Isser away from here, but I can do that. To tame it, I have to take the, do exactly what I wasn't, that's what I'm trying to not do. The Shaila, do I have to tovel it? To say, to tovel it, he says, that's not included in Dovah Sheshel Matirin.
What about kashering?
Kashering, the Isser and the kli are two separate things. It's just the clear two separate things. So it's a Tfilos Kalim,
it's a
clear.
It's
okay, so he says,
I'm going to say, to the used for tailors and one for Bosser, so that Dovah Sheshel Matirin was Mimashen Emino.
Say it again? If you have.
Please Mimashen Emino. If you look at the Bleer, the Bleer is Mimashen Emino.
Okay.
So the Dovah Sheshel Matirin is going to be Mimashen Emino.
Okay, it's too deep for me. I'll have to think about it. He has an interesting writing. He says, why do we ever say, he says, by in Hilchas, in Hafrashas Chala, okay, Chala's Chutzarts, is a drabbanon, it's maybe even less than drabbanon. Okay, it's chalas chutzarts. He says this, so he says, why do we ever say you could be makel? Now, I had a hard time finding a case, but I did find one. Why does it say that you could be makel about a case of chalas chutzarts? Because suffering drabbanon lekula, you could be makel about a chalas chutzarts. He says, why don't you just say the ikar din of hafrashas chala, you could even with a tiny bit? He says, why is it a double shesha material? Tell the guy, just take off a little piece and be mafresh. Once you double shesha material, it's easy. Just take off a little piece and this is the challah. That's it. Take one grain off and that'll be enough. He says that he says that's a riot to what he's saying, that when the shayla is should I be mafresh challah, to say, oh, go, just do what you have to do. That's not considered double shesha material. Don't double shesha material if you can get around from a side way, like you find some other way to get out. But I just thought that was interesting. Okay.